Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, may our ears hear your word. May our hearts take your word to heart. May our lives put your words into practice so that when we say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are truly Lord over all, reigning in our lives. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may not know this about me, but I've taken a car apart and I put it back together again. My first car, a 1971 Triumph Spitfire. And when I said I took it apart, I mean I took it apart. Everything was disassembled, cleaned, and reassembled. Well, everything except the transmission and the rear differential. Everything else I took apart and I put back together. With mowing money and newspaper delivery money, I bought my first car in the spring of my ninth grade year. Even before I had my driver's license, for $700, I had my own car. I bought that Spitfire, and I would drive it up and down the driveway of our home once in a while. Put it in reverse, back down the driveway. Top down, of course. Put it in forward. Drive back, drive forward, until I put too much exhaust fumes between the house. My older brother, he enjoyed driving my car even more because he could drive it down the road, and I couldn't. Now, after owning that car for a couple years, my dad and I decided to do that rebuild. And the rebuild began with me buying a second Triumph Spitfire for a parts car. I bought that second car in particular to get a frame that was straight and true. So just picture this. In my backyard, my parents' backyard, was my Spitfire that I was rebuilding, a second Triumph Spitfire for parts cars. Two Opel GTs, 1970s, sitting there, one for a parts car, one for driving, and a 1965 Ford Mustang. Those are the cars between my brother and I, not mentioning my parents' cars that filled out the rest of the driveway. So our backyard was full of stuff, and in that, I began to disassemble my car. There's a 4-inch steel pipe basketball hoop in our backyard, anchored in cement in the ground, and to that, I connected a 2-ton chain hoist. And then I lifted the body off the frame, rolled the frame out from under the body. And then I built a system out of 2x4s to hold that body, because when I let it down, I flipped the body upside down into that 2x4 frame. I was rebuilding the mechanical part of the car. I might as well remove the rusted steel and replace with new sheet metal. My dad had instructed me, teaching me how to weld with oxyacetylene. That's acetylene and oxygen. Very careful instructions I had to follow. Along with many safety precautions, I was working with dangerous gases and molten metal. My dad would only let me do the welding after I proved I could follow his instructions. Set the gas gauges to the proper pressures, clearing all the flammables out from the area, basically do as he did. My life was at stake. Using tools properly, fire extinguisher nearby, no gasoline cans nearby. Safety was drilled into me. Again, serious injury, even death could happen. Do as my dad would say to do. Along with the safety instructions, the Spitfire shop manual is indispensable. How to disassemble? That was fairly easy. Undo this first, then that, and so on. I could almost disassemble it without a shop manual. I'm very good at taking things apart. It's getting them back together. That's the challenge. But the reassembly, that Spitfire shop manual was essential. Particularly, those of you who work with things like this know torque settings. How tight you tighten the bolts is so important. Particularly, putting the engine back together. Yes, I did take the engine apart. Putting the engine back together, checking the clearances. That was critical. Putting the head back on the engine and torquing the head bolts, critical to do them in sequence at the proper steps to set the head gasket properly to the cylinder block. Had to be done just right, proper order, eventually turning the crankshaft to that number one piston top dead center to align that camshaft, and then setting the timing to the engine. It's crucial to running and starting and running right. You know, I couldn't do my own thing. Well, that looks right on. You know why I do this? I had to do exactly as the shop manual said. I had to pay attention and listen to the builder of the car to know how to put the car back together and get it running right. Paying attention to what my dad taught me kept me safe and truthfully kept me alive. Paying attention to what the shop manual instructed meant the difference between a pile of junk and a fantastic little red convertible. It was the car of my dreams then. I had to obey to keep me physically safe, and I had to obey to get a car that ran well and was safe to drive. Now let those images sink in and consider, what about my soul? And as you see those images, consider, what about your own soul? Let those images sink in as you hear these words from our Lord, as the scripture says, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Those words fall between two word picture parables of Jesus. Jesus had been talking about hypocrites and false teachers. And these short word picture teachings are warning about hypocrites and false teachers. Easily observable as an apple is on an apple tree, a pear on a pear tree, a fig on a fig tree, any child can recognize that. What were the Pharisees and religious leaders known for? Finding ways to condemn others and elevate themselves above others. In Luke 6, Jesus is laying out the ways of God with blessings and woes, love for enemies, do to others you'd have them do to you, love, do good, freely give. In many ways, everything that the Pharisees and religious leaders were not. They thought they were doing the will of God, but their actions showed their hearts were far from God. Jesus is connecting words and actions and the attitude of the heart. For the words and the actions flow from the attitude of the heart. This is an essential eternal truth. Things flow from the heart. And the only way to change the outward actions is to change a heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The redeeming truth of Jesus, crucified and risen Lord, that brings forgiveness and the very presence of Jesus coming into our heart, dwelling there in the power of the Holy Spirit. That will transform that heart from evil to good. It is no wonder that since the courts took Christ out of schools, we are reaping ever-increasing violence. Do you want to change the course of human history? Change hearts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like Nikki Cruz, warlord of the Mau Mau gang in New York City, this is the mid-1960s, Nikki was a hardened man with no love but filled with hate and violence. And Nikki was changed by Christ. In his own words, Nikki Cruz's own words, in that moment of change, I was choked up with pain, and my eyes were fighting, and tears became to come down, and more tears. And I was fighting, and then I surrendered. I let Jesus hug me, and I let my head rest on his chest. I said, I'm sorry, forgive me. And for the first time, I told somebody, I love you. When I had opened my eyes, I got a new heart. I was born again. I'm a child of the Lord. The way Nikki Cruz was transformed from violence to love, the culture can be changed from the moral mass confusion to wholesome virtue. Bring good into a heart by redeeming a heart with Jesus Christ. No political power, no new law, no diversity training, no sensitivity training will accomplish what the gospel will do, changing a heart and making it new. The very thing the culture needs, Jesus Christ, is exactly what the culture is rejecting. Spiritual warfare, my friend. Spiritual warfare. Only Jesus Christ can do the changing. Luke chapter 6, portion of 43, 44, and 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And then verses 46 and 47. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into action, puts them into practice. Christian faith is more than believe these truths. Faith is do, act upon, put into practice. If you believe these truths about Jesus, you will act upon them. You will live them out in your daily walk of life. When I say these truths, I mean the whole counsel of God, as written in the Holy Scriptures. But it is more. It is more than do's and don'ts. It is living in a way that will grow the reality of the image of Christ in you. The image of Christ in you. Living a very specific way. Fall sports season is here. Preseason camps have been happening all across town. Practice drill, do it again. Practice drill, do it again. Right? I mean, do it over and over. Soccer drills, build that muscle memory. Do it again, 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 again. Like this. No, not like that. Like this. The doing is done over and over to drive it in. So it becomes natural, a part of who you are. This is what I mean by faith is do, act upon, put into practice, put into action. You do it so it becomes more and more natural that you bear the image of Christ to others. Practice the piano, practice the flute, practice those ballet positions, all to ingrain into you, this is how it is done. With faith, we do it to ingrain it into ourselves. This is the faith, this is how it's lived out. Christianity is more than believe, it is live out in a living relationship with God the Father who gave his Son to die for us, who sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. Live in us. Listen to James, the book of James from Holy Scripture, James chapter 2, 14 through 19. Hear them again. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And then jumping down to verse 26, James chapter 2. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The heart is like a tree. The actions are the fruit. Build on a solid rock or build just on the ground. I will show you my faith by what I do. Think. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. He was crucified on the cross, brutally beaten and killed, and dying to redeem you, rising to show death is defeated. This is the one who loves you. Christ the Lord loves you, and this Lord is the one telling you to put into practice what he says. Now recall these words of Jesus from Holy Scripture, Luke chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Very God of very God among us as one who serves. So when Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Jesus is speaking from a servant heart, reaching out to you about your life and about your soul and about your place in eternity. Out of compassion and concern for who you are in your heart, Jesus speaks, "Do as I say." "Do as I say" is not coming from a domineering demon desiring to destroy you, but the loving God who has made the way of redeeming open for you. There is a solid rock to build your faith, and you find that out by putting that very same faith into action. Think, speak, do, act upon the sayings of Jesus. Dig deep into the sayings of Christ Jesus. Study them. Meditate on them. Memorize them. So they become so ingrained in your mind and in your heart, you find yourself actually living them out. I've shared this before, but this is one of the best ways I can demonstrate the truth of building on the foundation, digging deep to that solid rock. It has been nearly 15 years this month since the deepest pain of my life. And I've shared before that deepest pain was the death of my mother after open heart surgery. Before that, my life was in terrible turmoil already. The times were just atrocious with the other things going on. And then my mom's open heart surgery and that stress. And then a week later, she was doing fine. But then a week later, just too much. Very painful. In Decorah, at the hotel, as the extended family was arriving for their funeral and for the burial, I'd greet my uncles and I'd greet my aunts and I'd greet my cousins. God is good. In the midst of my deepest pain, the foundation, God is good, was there. My relatives didn't understand. Even my own family at times didn't understand. Still, it was all I could do to stand on the solid rock of Jesus in one of the most terrible times of my life, that life storm. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. I stood on that from Romans chapter 14, verse 8. Put the reality of Jesus into your life. Put the reality of Jesus into your life by living out the faith moment to moment each day. You come to know the compassion of the Lord by showing compassion to others. You come to know the forgiveness of the Lord by forgiving others. You come to know grace and mercy by being gracious and merciful. You come to know Christ more as you seek to be more Christ-like to others. That's living the faith out, putting it into practice, doing what he says. Learn patience, kindness. Grow in all the fruits of the Spirit by intentionally doing them. I will love, I will love, I will love. Say it 1,000 times over and over. I will love, I will. It will do very little until you actually reach out and love another. As Paul wrote in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Look how the gospel of Jesus Christ transformed Saul into Paul, took the heart of Saul, determined to destroy the followers of Jesus, and changed that heart into Paul's heart, willing to give all so there would be more followers of Jesus. You learn by knitting. You learn knitting by knitting. You learn to crochet by crocheting. You learn to ride a bike by riding a bike. You learn to follow Christ by following Christ. Living out the faith, do as Jesus says. It does not mean all will be perfect and prosperous in life. There will be storms. Like it's raining right now. There will be storms. But you will not be shaken. Because you are well built and reaching all the way down to that solid foundation, that rock of Christ. You'll be built upon the Bible, the Word of God, doing what Jesus says. And you will produce good fruit. You will be living with Jesus as Lord of your life. I desire a heart like Christ's. I know you desire a heart like Christ's. Together, we will do the faith. We will put it into practice together. Let us join together and do what Jesus says. Let's do that together. So Christ becomes very real here and out in the community. Wherever we go, in the school, in the workplace, wherever you are, it becomes very real. Christ is in your heart. And Christ's love flows from your heart into another person's life. Doing what Jesus says. Put it into practice. Let's do it together. Amen and amen.